Need your prayers, as always. You know, we gather and talk about our lives, and talk about witnessing people. And this morning, a couple of scriptures are going to be written. First, when we read, Father, I come to you. I know, Father, that I am. The Apostle Paul said, sometimes already you feel like we're the chiefest of sinners. Father, today, Father, your mercy is great. We know that your word cleanses us and you thank you. Pray, Father, that you guide your guidance. As we go through the service of faith that you have us guide, without your will, we pray, God, that Jesus led me. Until we look at the scripture and turn it for a long, long time. And we still do it some. We do the Great Commission. And this morning I'm going to read the Great Commission, but I want to jump off of the scripture in Matthew, the book of John. But we look at the scripture in Matthew, and it says, and Jesus came and spake unto him, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go to therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even at the end of the world. Now that's from the King James Version. I always use the King James Version when I preach. I studied that of other the Bible version. But as we look at yeah, I want you to find out what Jesus has said there. He said, go into all the world. And you know, we start thinking about where we go. Now, each of us go to different places every day. Some children go to school, or young people go to school. Different ones of us go to work. I don't. But some of you go to work and you go and you see different places. And you meet different people. How many times when you stop and you see those people, do you do what Jesus said to make us happy? You know, we look at that, and a lot of times we think, well, you know, we're going to lay the disciple. What happened to them after we made that disciple? What happened to them once we have witnessed to them? What happened in their life? Did that witness bring conviction in their life? Did that witness make a difference in their life? Did they stop and just consider what their life was? Have you ever talked to someone who has been in church and they get out of church and it's really hard to get them back, to come back to church? And we think about, well, you know, what were they doing prior to becoming a Christian? Many times we look at it and we say, well, before they became a Christian, they were an alcoholic or drug addict or whatever. They came to church for a period of time and, man, it seemed to be living such a great life. But then what happened? They drop out of church and Satan comes to them and the first thing he does is entices them to get back into that lifestyle. And I've told this before. A man I worked with at the waterwork was an alcoholic. He had been he'd been sober for years. He got fired from the waterworks. And guess where he went to work at? As a bartender. I said, that's not a good combination. You don't take an alcoholic, a guy that's been hooked on alcohol, and put him in a bar where it's right there available to him. All he's got to do is just take it. But you know, the thing that we see is that when we witness to someone and their life is changed, we see the growth that comes in their life. Man, we can just witness what happened to them. You know, even as good moral people, when a person comes to know Christ as Savior, even a good moral person, you can see a difference in their life and the things that they do and the way that they do things. You know, we sometimes think that, well, you know, it's okay. But what, how far would you go to witness to someone? I found this interesting. I didn't look at Jonah's life. Of course, some of y'all might have done some study on this before. But it says in verse 1 of chapter 1 in the book of Jonah, it says, "Now the words of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and I just did, for the wickedness has come up before me." I began to think, how far was it from where Jonah was at? I began to do a little bit of research, and I found this out, that it's a long way. And I looked at Jonah, and you go to this particular verse, show you this verse. It's 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 25. It says, it talks about the king. It says, he restored the coast of Israel from the inner of the of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord, God of Israel, which he spoke by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was in Gath. I looked that up and said, I'm trying to get you from in relation to me. About 500 years. Didn't have an airplane. They didn't have a car. I kept reading and studying in this, and it says that Jonah would have had to walk all that distance. Take about 40 days. Curious that you walk 40 days to go get somebody 500 miles away. Here we go. Go you therefore into all the world. And so we start thinking about what Jonah did. And Jonah says, I'm not about to go there. So he goes over and he pays the fare to go to Tarshish. Hundreds of miles away, the opposite direction. You ever heard about somebody running to God as they are called to do some sort of ministry? You've heard those stories about people who just refuse to do what God wants them to do. But you know what? I heard this man, Legeriel, he was a pastor at St. Mary's Plains for several years. Before he came to St. Mary's Plains, he had been the pastor of the church up in Edwald County. He said they had called him to come and preach for them several times. He said they asked me to be their pastor. He said, I come home and I told my wife that they want me to be their pastor. The only way I'm going to be their pastor is they tie a rope around me and pull me up under my foot. People fight against God, don't they? And so we start thinking about it. And what he said was that he was refusing to go. We refuse to do things sometimes, don't we? But you know, the thing that we see is that Brother Jerry said that after God got a hold of him, he said, I decided this will drive me. He went to that church and was their pastor for 13 years. But it was after God got a hold of him and changed his mind. You ever had your mind change? You know, as you're driving down the road and you're doing 80 miles an hour or 65 hours on, you see a cop, your mind gets changed, don't it? So we start thinking, well, what if God calls me to go somewhere? God speaks to us, just like he did to Jonah. God gets our attention. And so we start thinking about where Jonah was. And so when we look at where Jonah was, he must have been in a right relationship with God to start with for God to speak to him. You know, we get in a right relationship. God, I'll just do anything you want me to. Just don't send me to Africa. Remember when Kelly used to sing that song, Lord, don't send me to Africa. Let me work this for you. We want to stay close. We want to stay where our friends are. But, you know, we think sometimes that, well, you know, God has called me to do a certain work. And we think about, like Jonah, And I don't want to do that. Says that Johnny arranged up to flee to Tarsus, the presence of the Lord. Versus a mistake. You can't get away from God's presence. You can do whatever you want to, but the psalmist says, for instance, whither shall I go from that presence? Where am I going to go to get away from you? If I ascend to hell, you're there. If I ascend to heaven, you're there. Wherever I go, that's where you are. Or are you still chasing? You know, that's kind of an attitude to hell. Or are you still chasing? I have refused you. I went everywhere to get away from you, but you're still chasing. You know, we learned about how we as individuals think, well, you know, Jonah ran. We got on that ship, and the waves became so rough. Those mariners asked, you know, what's going on? And they began to cast the lots, and the lots go on Jonah. And Jonah, they asked Jonah, said, what's going on? And he says, well, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear God. But if you just cast me over, just throw me overboard, the sea will be calm, dude. You know, I read that, think back and go, Jonah knew the answer before he ever got on the ship. When the wave started, he knew the answer was that he was wrong. You ever thought, well, you know, I can get back a little bit of sin in my life. Just don't let me do the big thing. Just don't let me get into the dabbling in the big sin. Man, I can handle the small stuff on my own. Really can. Because the little things become big things in our life. It blocks us between us and God. It puts that wall up. And we don't understand why in the world we want to do that. And you know, some of us around here know, some of you may have some little Jesus in your pocket, man. I've got some laid on the chest. But some of us will pass over that. I was at Walmart a few days ago, and there was just a little lady walking through the store, and she just seemed so happy. And I had one of them in my pocket, and I gave it to her. And I said, need a little Jesus? She said, I need a lot of Jesus. And she took me, and she said, you know, you're the same person as me. And they bring so much junk. But you know, those little things are today. If that brings that much joy, just think what kind of joy that Jesus brings into your heart. Just as we look at that little thing and we think, that's Jesus. Just think if we just obey him, do what he wants us to do. But you know, as Jonah faced the crisis, man, don't you think, man, I'm over here, I'm on this ship, and the waves are tossing. And man, it's just bringing bitterness to my life. Now, what kind of pain are we suffering? Terry was talking this morning about the pain. That's just physical pain. I got physical pain, man. That's hurt quite a bit since Wednesday. Surgery, healing. I look up still, it says, well, those nerves, those muscles start coming back. Where are they supposed to be? No, and then it creates some uneasiness. Mr. Tylenol helps some. But the thing about it is that the healing has to come. And some of you know Joey Ritchie. Yeah. Brother Joey, about, I don't know, 25, 30 years ago, he was out dealing with this tractor and his plow and stuff, and it mashed the end of his finger, crushed it. He got to the hospital, and they took that finger and attached it to the middle of his palm. Attached it right there.
He said, oh, the cramps and everything. He said, it's terrible.
You know, we talk physically, right? Heather's a great boy. We can suffer physical pain. Brother Joyce said, after a few days, he said, cramps, they went away. He said, that lady was in that position, I think it said for 5-6 weeks.
Yeah.
He said, I went to the doctor. He said, they didn't want the kids that clinger to die, so they wanted the blood circulate. He said, I went to the doctor, and they cut it loose, and all the cramps. You should have just felt the cramps. Because it went the other way. And I like, God can bring us pain. God can give us some affliction to get our attention. That's what he brought on Jonah. He said, Jonah, I'm going to get your attention. And so we start thinking about the things that Jonah went through. He was going to get life. He said, he's been close to God. He forgot a lot. But then you have to realize that Nineveh was a wicked city. The Assyrians ruled Nineveh. Very violent people. Chris, would you want to go to Iran today? Talk to the leaders in Iran. Talk about the true God.
Brother,
did you really speak to him? And, you know, the thing is, I looked at this and I thought, what's that 500 miles of jungle is going to have to travel to get there? It'd be like us walking from here to Orlando, Florida. About 500 miles. And so I was thinking about, well, you know, when Jonah is on his journey to avoid God, what's really going through his mind? I got to get away from God. I've got to escape this. I don't want to go over there because, man, those people are mean, mean people. But you know, the thing that we have to realize is that in our world today, we walk up to people and they be mean people. They be somebody that we just don't really want to associate with. Robert talked about it in Wednesday night a few weeks ago. About meeting the man and finding out that he was a murderer or whatever was going on. We don't know what we face in this life. You ever heard the story about a little old elderly lady who's driving and she stops at a red light and this man jumps in the car and got a gun holding it on her. He's telling her, you got to go to this place and to this place. And she starts telling him about Jesus. And he starts crying. Because he'd been raised in church. He started remembering things his parents had taught him. And it made a difference because he could appeal with her. But because she started talking to him about Jesus, it changed his whole outlook on what he was about to do. He was going to rob her, maybe kill her, do all kinds of stuff. But you know, when we, as individuals, put our life in God's hands, it'll always turn out. Always blind. Now, when we look at the story of Jonah and how that he decided from the fish's belly, 3 days. I wondered, since it was such a distance from his mom, God wanted him to travel. And I looked this up and I said, maybe God used fish to transport Jonah down there close to him. Yeah. Nineveh is hundreds of miles in the sea. So Jonah, you three fishes in it. And one of the things that we have to see is the invitations of Ellie. What did Jonah do? I heard Brother John Thompson preaching that point. That's what did Jonah see in visions of Ellie? But one for desire, sure. But you know, the thing that we have to understand is that when God calls us, He doesn't guarantee us how all the good stuff in life. I jotted this down. And in Jonah's prayer, in verse 6 of chapter 12, Jonah starts even praying. Look at that verse. Verse 6 of chapter 2. And we start thinking about, well, you know, how do we respond to God when things go wrong in our life? With Jonah there in verse 6, it says, I went down to the bottom of the mountain to the earth to prepare about me for ever yet thou hast brought me up my life from. You'd be back to a little fish's belly and you got, that ain't no way out of here. There you go. That way, you know, God does things. One of the things I read is that it was not a miracle that the fish swallowed God. The miracle was that the fish did not digest Jonah.
Yeah.
True. I mean, talk about being in that fish's belly 3 days. And scripture, I think, in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says, and as Jonah was 3 days in the fish's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days in the heart of the earth. And so we start thinking about, well, you know, it's a correlation to what Jonah went through and the life that he lived. He could have died in the fish's belly if he was, in a sense, resurrected. Jesus was 3 days in the tomb, but he was resurrected. And we start thinking about how that he did those things. The next verse there says that he came in verse 9. It says that, but I will sacrifice in the Lord with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that, and I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation. Is of the Lord. What's salvation? You ever thought about what salvation is? It's the saving grace of God. And yesterday afternoon, Brother Stephen texted me and said, no, I'll be praying for you tomorrow morning. I said, I always need your prayer. Always need it. And he takes back something and about being on board, whatever, and said, I'm just an old sinner saying my grace. Something like hallelujah, yes. Are you just an old sinner saying my grace? How sorry you were before Christ saved you, and how sorry, in a sense, we still are after Christ has saved us. Because we're not. So we think, well, you know what, I've been saved and signed, sealed, I'm delivered. You know, many years ago, we went to the nurse at Palmer, fellowship to their written across the street, even with side. Once a month, we'd go to the service over there. There was a gentleman there named Jack. You could go in and talk to Jack, and almost exclusively every time you talk to Jack, he said, I'm signed, I'm sealed, I'm saved, I'm on my way to glory. One day I'm going to be glorified. And he was such a humble guy. And there was a lady there, and they claimed to be sweethearts. And they would sing together. Every time we went, they would sing to me. And through me. And that's what Linda passed over. And Jack, it's kind of sad. The last few times we singing, it was really good. Jack in wits. We think, well, you know, like that. I think, do you find, well, I've got a bad. I've got a bad shoulder. I can't do anything because this affliction is just terrible. You just don't know what kind of witness you make me. You just don't know what kind of witness God may make to me. You may be the next man over in that bed, being a witness to those that come by. But you know, the thing that we have something bad is when Jonah got up and says, and he entered into another day's journey. I don't know what that means. I don't know if he had started in one side of the Nineveh, and he was a day's journey into the preaching. I don't know if he preached all that time to get him there at that time. But he preached to the people of Nineveh. And he became that person that the Ninevites listened to. You're on that box person you can think of. One knocking on their door, witnessing to them. Oh, we've got all had those things that are right here. We think of a place of a thing. I don't want to hear that. But you know what? Scripture says that one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, there's a scripture that comes to mind, says, be kind and affectionate one, forgiving. You know, we get to the point where the real show affections of that. We don't show love to our neighbors. Jonah didn't want to show love to the Ninevites, even though it was God's love that he was going to express. Because we think about what Jesus said, to go and to make disciples and to baptize. What's the biggest blessing here? One of the biggest blessings that I ever received is New Prospect. They get your Bible study on the year. 7 young people saved. I got baptized. But you know what? Some of them really active in church today. Come on, I don't know. What happened to me? Those others that I know, they're active in church. I've made a difference in people's lives. Keith knows about some of them. And knows they're a nephew and a niece of Jake and Will. They went on a mission trip just a few weeks ago. And I asked Gavin, I said, what? Tell me about the mission trip. So I didn't know. I didn't know. He said, but a couple of weeks before we were going to leave, our pastor, the church of California, said our pastor preached a message about how we're called. He said, people ask the question, why should I go? He said, turn that around and ask yourself, why should I go? You got his letters, 2 different people, 2 lot of different people that knew nothing about anything. Says, why ain't you going? You should go. He says, just like God is putting all of them in my path to tell me to go. He said, I went. And we helped do it. We did mission. He did things different.
He said,
I'm so grateful. Jonah ended up being glad he went, but then he was sad that he went. And I won't lie, we're so glad. Remember, thought about the fact I mentioned New Prospect a lot. And I loved it for people over there. But I left here in 2006 to go first Sunday of August. Now I went in 2006. Today is the first Sunday of August. 20 years late, I went. And I walked back. I go to church. I walked back to the back. I'm looking around. They didn't have gracious sins. God bombs him. Who knows? Tell the man who he said, why would you go to a little church like that? I said, well, first reason is because I'm not laying down. But it would be small in the church. You're 9 years old. What? Great joy. The angel is in the church. Jonah got the minimum. He probably enjoyed the preaching. We didn't enjoy the pretenders people made out as he should have been. What's our calling in life? We and a person consciously accept Christ as Savior and it's like, wonder how long I've known Christ. That's our attitude sometimes, and wonder how long I've lasted. That'll it's just that life to month. They'll be back doing the things that they're doing. Not realizing that we're doing the things we used to do sometimes. We need repentance in our life. And so when we look at
how they
Jonah, his model for two quarters
Chris.
The thing you see is that Chris said to me last Sunday, maybe do a two-part series. Maybe it may end up with that. But didn't intend it. But we look at what happened with Jonah. It says that the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second. Angela, aren't you glad that God feels the sack of Jesus? Aren't you glad that when you felt the convicting spirit come into your heart and you turned it away the first time, aren't you glad it came the second time and we had that opportunity, Christian? What if God said, Terry, you got one chance and you're done? It's like, hey, that's not a chance for it. Yeah, it is. He don't have to give you another chance. It says, word of the Lord came to Jonah sacrifice. He arose. That one time getting swallowed. He said, I don't want that fish no more. But you know what he might have said? If I with the fish. I'll fight that land animal. If I want to fight God, I'm going to be fighting. But come here. The people's never repented. And then, after repentance, John went out there and sat on the side of the knee. You ever went and sat on the side of the hill over there? Pete, you ever went and sat on the side of the hill waiting for something to happen? We've been to different places. We've seen some really massive sites. We've seen some what's in the good. We've been blessed in our life to see a lot of areas classic like the most powerful even as we just visited critical canyons. The canyons. Just went with the shark. Some I think that sometimes when we put our life in God's hand, you'll always be right. Sometimes when we don't put our life in His hands, He may put a great something in our life to do for you. I'm going to ask some girls your verse invitation this morning. You know, we think when we pray that God's just going to just answer our prayer because, hey, we serve a living God and He's just going to answer whatever we need. But our lesson in Sunday school is in prayer. And we think, well, you know, maybe we just ask ourselves, maybe we need to not have to be shivering. What's that a kind of for God calls? God take care of we may pray and we may hurt. We may say, Lord, I'm living the best life. My best life now. Oh, is it really? If it's not surrounded by God, it's not your best life. Let's stand. Have a need this morning.
Page 177. Go.